darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What were the religious leaders to do with Jesus? What were they to do with Christ? They had had a sharp disagreement with Jesus, between themselves and Jesus was not willing to back down at all. You see, Jesus had confronted them, he came against them, and was holding these religious leaders accountable. Yes, he was holding them accountable for being enemies of the truth. As you can about imagine, they did not like this too much. They did not like being confronted. Now, like a Mexican standoff, Jesus and the religious leaders, they came into an irreconcilable tension. They came and they locked horns. They collided. They could not proceed nor retreat without there being some sort of conflict and without there being blood on the streets. But what was the reason for this great conflict? What was the reason for this tension? What was the reason for this standoff? The reason for the disagreement was simply this. Jesus, he had proclaimed to the people that his doctrine, his teaching, was from God, and that he was the light of the world. Christ also went on to say that only through him people were forgiven of sin and kept from death. He had been preaching this message for weeks and a number of days, and many people began to follow him. However, as you can about imagine, the religious leaders of that time, they could not agree with Jesus because they claimed that they had the truth, not Christ. They said that Jesus' doctrines came from the devil. They believed that they were right and that Jesus was simply wrong. Simply stated, the town was not big enough for the both of them. For the religious leaders wanted to be the top dog. While it would be convenient for us to attempt to smooth this whole conflict over by saying this, well, Jesus and the religious leaders are both right and we should all just get along and love each other, I'm afraid to say that this simply does not do justice to this morning's gospel text from the Gospel of John. Furthermore, why does this surprise us that there is conflict between the religious leaders and Jesus? My friends, we should not be surprised when the teachings of Jesus, when they actually conflict with the teachings of mankind. Yes, whenever we humans base our understanding of the Christian faith off of things that are not Christ's holy word, well then, we're going to be in conflict with Jesus, as we should. Whether we realize it or not, we all have opinions that are shaped and formed from various persons and books and ideas and institutions. Some of these ideas are true and good, while others of these ideas that we possess are false and bad. However, we typically do not realize, our false and bad ideas. That is to say, we do not realize our errors until we come into sharp disagreement with an opposing point of view. As in the case of the religious leaders from our gospel reading, when they were confronted by Jesus' teaching, they were challenged in a way that unsettled them to the very core of their being. It rocked their world. It knocked them off the center of their gravity. Indeed, there are few greater fears in life than a loss of a sense of order and meaning to one's life. Dear friends, when we are confronted by Jesus' word as well, whether we are simply reading the scriptures or whether we are studying the Bible in a Bible study or whether we are in church hearing a sermon or hearing the word read to us, we should actually learn and expect to be unsettled and challenged. That is actually natural and good. With that said, though, we are more comfortable getting defensive like the religious leaders in our gospel reading. Like them, we actually resist Jesus' teaching when Jesus' words attempt to undo us. Therefore, we're easily tempted into arguing and rationalizing away Jesus' teachings in a way to keep them away from us. Or we try to compartmentalize them by putting these religious teachings of Jesus over in this religious box off on this side, keeping it away from our false beliefs and our incorrect beliefs as well. There's more, though. If we cannot keep Jesus' teaching from interrogating and exposing our errors, well then, we will lash out in anger by avoiding the Bible, avoiding the church, and avoiding that preacher man. On the other hand, if we cannot avoid Jesus' teaching and we wish to maintain our false beliefs, there's actually another option, though. We will actually go nuclear. We will attack Jesus' teaching, we'll attack Jesus' words, as well as Jesus' messengers, like the religious leaders who picked up rocks to stone Jesus in order to eliminate this uncomfortable message and tension. Well, we do the same. Our anger lashes out, and it tries to eliminate the Word of God, this Word of God that so often confronts us. Why did the religious leaders want to stone Jesus? Why do we get defensive when the Word of God comes against us? The answer is that we want to be free, and we want to be free from being challenged. We want to be free to believe whatever we want, whenever we want it, and however we want it. We do not like conflict. We do not like being challenged. We do not like disapproval, especially from God. We want God to be on our side while simultaneously having our incorrect opinions affirmed and celebrated. Now, unfortunately, we see this being played out not only in the North American church, but we see this in our secular sphere as well. The religious life of individuals is being suppressed. It is being suppressed. Christians are being told that they can worship and read their Bibles in the church and their homes in that private sphere, but they better not dare bring them out into the public sphere. Why is this the case? The world does not want to be confronted. The world does not want to be convicted of sin. Furthermore, even though the world demands that everyone be tolerant, it really does not want tolerance, but rather it wants everyone to celebrate its ideologies. Tragically, in our culture, speaking the truth in love will not be met with reception and relief and gratitude, but it will be received with anger and rocks in hands. Now, dear friends, this is nothing new. When Cain confronted when Cain was confronted in the book of Genesis about his erring sacrifice, he killed his brother Abel. When the high priest Zechariah confronted the people of Judah for their sins, the people got together and they stoned him to death. When Stephen confronted the stiff-necked people who had closed ears in the book of Acts, well, they became enraged. They ground their teeth and they rushed at him with rocks in their hands. And in our text today, as Jesus speaks to the religious leaders and as he unsettles them, they called him a demon and they picked up rocks to stone him. With all this said, what is really at the heart of today's gospel reading is the third commandment. We're being shown that we should not despise the preaching and the teaching of the word with closed ears or rocks in our hands, but rather we should hold it sacred and gladly receive it. But what does this mean? It means that the hearing of the word will indeed make us uncomfortable. It means that Jesus' word will actually challenge our behaviors, challenge our feelings, and challenge our ideas and our own values. The Lord has power in his word, and that word shapes and forms us, oftentimes being different than the going trends of culture. The word, the teachings, and the breath of Jesus is sometimes painful for us to hear, but make no mistake, my friends, it is good. You see, we're constantly brought to a conviction of our sins from the word of God. We're shown that we have erred from the word. We are shown where we have believed the lies of the world, believed the lies of our sinful flesh and the evil one. We're shown that one who refuses to hear God's word is not of God, but of the devil. You, though, you, my friends, you who have ears, hear this. You, yes, you are not of the devil. Yes, you baptize saints. You belong to the Lord. The word of God is for you. Therefore, my friends, repent of your attempts to protect yourself from God's word. Repent of your willingness to trust the message of the world, the flesh, and the devil, rather than the word of God. Repent of your apathy towards the word. You, my friends, are of God, not of the devil. You are people of Jesus' word, not the vain and empty slogans of the world. Your hands were not meant for rocks, but they were meant to receive the body and the blood of Christ in which you lay upon your tongues. You've been given ears to hear. Thus hear the word of God. Accept the rebukes of Jesus when sin has been committed. And most importantly of all, hear the gospel. Yes, hear the gospel which is for you. The word of Christ is medicine against eternal death, which is hell. Every soul which was conceived and born into sin. However, Christ is united with you in his word, so you are no longer dead but alive. You are already raised from the dead in Christ. This is the first resurrection. You have life in Christ. Eternal death has no power over you. You are forgiven. You are beloved. You are baptized. Yes, receive the word of God that is for you. You have the word of Christ, and that cannot fail to overcome death for you, for it is the word of the great I am. My friends, death could not. It could not conquer him, so it cannot conquer you. Furthermore, if the enemies of Jesus' word, if they pick up stones against you, you shall not fear. The Lord knows how to hide and rescue his own. He covers you with the protection in evil times. He hides you secretly. He hides you secretly in his safety. Just as no one was able to harm Christ before the appointed time of his crucifixion, so also no one will be able to harm you anyway before your appointed time of your departure from this life in this veil of tears. Blessed baptized saints, the word of God is for you. You are captive to the word of God. It keeps you from eternal death. You are forgiven. Salvation is yours. You have life in Christ because he bled, because he died, because he rose, because he says it is so. In the name of Jesus, amen.
To sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.